Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Reminder that Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell? Email sales at ableauctions.ca. You've actually written this read incorrectly. It says email sales at ableauctions.ca.
Yeah. Come on.
You're going to have a hard time emailing them with that.
Are you speaking to me?
Not just anyone.
I've screwed up a lot today, haven't I?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Someone didn't like the nephew Dom nickname, and I said, it's not a nickname. It's a real thing.
Yeah. It's just something that Mike Marnego deemed I was, and I've just been his nephew ever since.
You're his large adult nephew. It's good. Reminder to get a hold of us at the program at 650-650. It's pretty much your only way to get a hold of us here. It's the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, the smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver or online at dunbarlumber.com. And see, the .com's slightly erased on that.
Well, how did you say smart there? Smarlt?
Smart. I don't like smart alternative. Mm. I end up saying smarlt.
Why don't you just slow down and focus on all the words? The smart.
Why don't you do something?
It's the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. The smart alternative. Visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver. Online at dunbarlumber.ca. .com. Yeah. You're right. Dom, come on.
Write it out in full.
So a bit of a disappointing last night in terms of the basketball game, I thought.
The Hoopies.
I was hoping for a better game. I was hoping for a Gonzaga win, too, let's be honest. But full credit to Baylor, who came out and just punched them in the nose. And Gonzaga was like, wait a minute, we have to rebound? This is...
How many offensive rebounds?
They looked like a football... Baylor looked like a football team.
How many
there.
Offensive rebounds did Vital have? 41?
Yeah.
42? That was ridiculous. He's a big dude.
Gonzaga needs to play heavier basketball if you want to compete.
Oh, man, here we go.
They're not tough enough. They played that skill game that doesn't match up when the refs put their whistles away.
What's the equivalent? What's the equivalent of pucks in deep? Don't say balls in deep. That's not it. But that was an issue.
You got to dump the ball in.
You do.
And then go get it.
Actually,
they're turning it over a lot.
Just put it into the big guy's hands down low. Let him deal with it in whatever way, shape, or form. Back to the hockey we go. We've been talking about this for the better part of the first hour of the program. Talked to Anthony Stewart about this earlier. We now circle back on the Calgary Flames with their play-by-play man. Happy to have him on the program. Rick Ball joins us now on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Baller. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm terrific. How are you doing?
We're good, thanks. You sound better than the team that you call games for right now, to be frank. It is not good times with this team. We keep pointing out the fact that, you know, it wasn't great under Jeff Ward, but the record was at least hovering around 500 as opposed to where it is now. There's been a real, at least in terms of wins and losses, cratering under Daryl Sutter. Calling the games, watching it night after night, what are some of the big differences you notice in style of play or maybe execution in that change from Ward to Sutter?
Well, oddly, and it's interesting, we were talking to the guys who were calling the Toronto broadcast prior to these two games that they just played against the Maple Leafs, and they were asking, well, you know, almost the exact same question you just asked. Mm-hmm. And I said, it's weird because they're losing, but from the red line back, I think they're actually vastly improved. Their play on their own end, I think, is much more cohesive. Their breakouts are a lot more, they have a lot more structure to them. They're moving the puck a lot more quickly. So in a lot of ways, he's made some significant improvements. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, their offense has dried up to a stunning degree. They have not been able to, I mean, they got three goals last night. That was a minor miracle. Prior to that, they'd lost 7 of 8 games and scored 2 or fewer in all 7 and all lost in regulation. And that's been the downside. The upside is they're way better in their own zone. The downside is, it's become almost impossible to put the puck in the net at the other end. And guys who are normally able to do it in their sleep have suddenly forgotten how to score. There was a perfect example, and I think it's a microcosm of what's been happening with the Calgary Flames over the last few weeks. Last night, Sean Monahan, 30-plus goal scorer many times in his career, gets the puck in the slot, nobody in front, eye-to-eye with Jack Campbell, and takes a shot and puts the puck 7 feet over the crossbar and almost right out of the rink. Deflected, nothing. That just did not used to happen to Sean Monahan. And you know how it is, guys. Once it gets in your head, it takes something to get to get you going back in the right direction. And every single guy they rely on to score is in a massive slump right now, and that's the single biggest reason why they're not winning, even though I think they're a much better team in their own end of the rink.
You know, it's funny that you bring that up and saying that they've improved vastly, you know, with the red line, and they've been better in their own end. And we talked to Anthony Stewart before we had you on the program, and he said, you know, if you watch the games closely enough, some of these are up for grabs, and some of them the Flames are playing well enough to win. It just comes down to what you're talking about, the execution part of things. Now, you talked about the offensive side of things. I can't help but point out that, you know, last night there's 5 goals allowed. Matthews scores the 2. And I know Darryl has kind of hinted and intimated and suggested maybe that they need more big saves out of Jacob Markstrom. Is that a legitimate thing, or is that just a coach trying to posture and maybe take some pressure off some other guys, saying that, you know, we're playing fine as a team structurally, it's just we're not getting the saves when we need them?
Well, there's no doubt that Markstrom has not been as good as he was early in the season. He had a really good start to the year. I mean, the first month and a bit of Jacob Markstrom's tenure with the Calgary Flames, it looked like one of the greatest free agent signings in the history of the franchise, because unbelievable. And then he got hurt in that collision with Tanner Pearson. We believe they never officially said that's where he got hurt, because he played a couple games after that. But the 2 games he played after that, he wasn't very good. Then he missed a stretch. And since he's come back, he's not been the same. But I'm not going to hang the loss on him last night. You can't look at any of those 5 goals and go, that one should have been stopped. It's not like he's been terrible. He just hasn't, you know, if he'd been giving the Flames the kind of goaltending they were getting from him the first few weeks of the year, they'd definitely have some wins here in this last stretch instead of just the one they've had now in, what, 9 games? Because he was terrific. You can't say he's been nearly as good as he was prior to getting hurt. So Daryl Sutter's not entirely wrong. The goaltending hasn't been as great as it was earlier in the year. The offense has gone away. The problem is there's no wiggle room. When you're only scoring 1 or 2 goals a night, or 0, I mean, you're not going to win if you score 0. It's very tough to win with 1 or 2, and there's such a slim margin for error. Unless he's perfect, you don't win those games very often, and that's exactly what's been happening. So I think Daryl Sutter is definitely right, but to say that's the only problem I think would be a real overstatement, because they have a lot of other issues going on right now in the offensive zone.
Yeah, it's funny. You mentioned the offensive struggles, and then a lot of people, I don't know what people are saying in Calgary, but the outsider perspective is, what's going to happen this offseason? Is Johnny Gaudreau going to be traded? And I said, yeah, I understand the sentiment. There's only a year left on his deal. Then he can be UFA. So if you want to trade him, the offseason might be the time to do it, so you at least get something back for him. But then you take Johnny Gaudreau off that team, and he's one of your best offensive players. You better have someone to replace him with, or you're going to be even worse.
That's a legitimate question. Like, what do you get back, right? Mm-hmm. And the other argument that I keep hearing, listen, I don't know what's going to happen. I think there will be significant changes this year, unless they get on an incredible run here and win 15 games or something in their last 16. Then no signs that is going to happen, but you know, if it does by some miracle and they get in the playoffs and go deep, then that changes the entire equation. But let's say they continue down this path, continue to struggle, miss the playoffs. Something needs to be addressed, because even though they've made the playoffs, so this is my 7th season now doing the Flames. They made the playoffs 4 of the first 6 years. Mm-hmm. But other than that one win against Vancouver, the very first year I was here in 2015, they've been knocked out in the first round. I guess you could call the play-in round last year a win as well. They beat Winnipeg, but you know, they lost in the first round to Dallas last year as well. So even though they, at times they've been a good regular season team, and in fact were the best team in the Western Conference a couple of seasons ago, their playoff success hasn't happened, even in the years that they're in. So, you know, and then this year has been, if it continues this way, even the regular season hasn't been any good. So things need to be addressed. This has been a long stretch with the same core group. And if you move a guy like Gaudreau and a guy like Sean Monahan, you know, Kachuk's not scoring, Lindholm's not scoring. Like, they're getting some scoring from their depth guys. The argument could be that if you get something back, that person might chip in, and then maybe some of the guys who aren't playing as much because they're, you know, further down the pecking order right now than the guys that you trade away will get an opportunity, and they'll be able to put the puck on the net. And there's some truth to that argument, potentially, but you're right. Like, where are the goals going to come from? They're not coming from those guys right now, but there's nothing to say that you know, they won't find their game again. The other argument, though, that you hear, and, you know, guys are making it on the broadcast last night, Matt Stajan was on, and Matt was saying, well, here's the problem. Like, they're struggling right now, so their value is at its lowest, right? So you're going to trade a guy now when you're going to get the least possible return because he's not producing. But it's a catch-22. If he is producing, then you don't want to trade him. So like Bill and Reese are talking about trading those guys is because they're struggling, right? So that's sort of the conundrum that Bradtree Living has right now. Like, what are you going to get back? And if those guys start to go again, maybe you could try and make a move then. But at the same time, if Monahan's scoring 30-plus and Gaudreau's back in the form where he got 99 points a couple of seasons ago, then you don't want to trade him. So, but something needs to be done to this team. There needs to be an overhaul. They certainly aren't built exactly the way I know Daryl Sutter wants his teams to be built, based on the way that he wants them to play. So he'll have a lot of input, I'm sure, on how this team is constructed over the course of the next couple of years, and that would suggest to me that changes are going to happen.
I sometimes wonder if the Flames missed their window because Giordano is getting older now. A few years ago, he was a classic late bloomer. He was playing at Norris Trophy level in his early 30s, but he's not in his early 30s anymore. And I just wonder, down the middle and on the back end, I don't know if the Flames have that real number one center that most Stanley Cup winning teams have. And I don't know if they have that stud blue liner anymore that most Stanley Cup winning teams have.
Yeah, I think Giordano's still playing well. He's just not obviously the same guy. Like you mentioned, he's 37 years old and father time tracks everybody down. I mean, nobody's ever won a foot race against him. And no, so Giordano's still a guy who can play in the league and be a contributor. It's just not at the same level that he was. But I think the bigger issue is down the middle. And I agree with you. They addressed that this year when they broke up the Lindholm Monahan Gaudreau line because they felt they needed more depth down the middle. And Lindholm, I think, is a very good center iceman. And then, in theory anyway, you've got Lindholm, Monahan, Backlund, and then a guy like Derek Ryan, who's a good fourth liner. They've got some depth there, but does any one of those guys jump out at you as a bona fide star first line center iceman? Probably not. So, it's definitely a fair criticism of the way the team is built right now. And what the other thing that's happened is that Lindholm was such a good piece of that top unit when they were all together, that you've made your center ice position deeper, but your best line has been broken up, and now they're not scoring, those two other guys, at the rate that they were before. So, again, you're in a damned if you do and damned if you don't kind of situation. But I think both those observations are probably fair. The bigger concern for me right now, though, is center ice than it would be Mark Giordano, who is still playing well. And quite frankly, their best pairing this season has been Hanifin with Chris Tanev, who has been outstanding since coming over from Vancouver. So, that's the duo that Daryl Sutter puts out most often against the top line on the other team. And so even on paper, if you see the depth chart for the Calgary Flames, it's still Mark Giordano and Rasmus Anderson often listed as the top defensive pairing. In all reality, based on the way they're utilized, it's more often not Noah Hanifin and Chris Tanev.
We're speaking to Calgary Flames play-by-play man Rick Ball here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. It's probably maybe a good thing that fans haven't been in attendance for Calgary Flames games this year, because, we've often referred to them as maybe the most disappointing team in the North Division, one of the most disappointing teams in the NHL based on expectations, free agent signings, and what have you. What's the level of discontent right now with the fan base, given that they're not necessarily in the arena, that maybe they're not voicing their opinions as traditionally? There's got to be a level of frustration and angst amongst this fan base because expectations were high. They were expected to do big things with Tanev and Markstrom coming in, and they've fallen short. What do you hear on the daily here, Rick?
Yeah. What does the discontentment meter go up to?
Yeah.
And then whatever that number is, add 10%.
Okay.
People are very disappointed, obviously. None more than the organization. Yeah. Like, I think there were high hopes in the entire Calgary Flames franchise that this team would be competitive and make the playoffs and have a chance to do something based on the moves they made and based on some success last season. Beat Winnipeg, played well long stretches against Dallas, even though they bowed out in that series, but yeah, it's been a step back despite the fact the guys they brought in, certainly Markstrom early and Tanev the entire time, have played well. So yeah, you can't there's no way to spin this saying that, well, we expected us to take a step back this year. That was not the way that was not what Bradtree Living was thinking when he made those moves in the offseason. He thought this team would be better, and they haven't been. So everybody's disappointment from the organization on down through the last fan, for sure.
The Flames were supposed to be in action again on Thursday against the Vancouver Canucks, but that will not happen. So they are back in action Saturday. That is April 10th. And that is the latest installment of the Battle of Alberta against Edmonton. Rick, thanks a lot for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the day. Enjoy the game on the weekend. We will do this again sometime further on down the road.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. I'm glad to hear, you know, congrats on the new gig. I knew you'd land on your feet quickly, and you did. So, keep it rolling, and hopefully we can talk soon.
Thanks, Baller. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, boys. Take care.
Rick Ball here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sports 96. Did you have your hand in the air? Very studious.
We got a text from Brian in Nanaimo. Brough, how much are you enjoying talking about how terrible the Flames are? No number one center or D-man. Doesn't look like there's any good answer to fix these problems. No, there doesn't. I think the Flames missed their window. Giordano, I think he was... It was just 2 years ago that he won
Giordano,
Norris Trophy.
I was like, you were like, Giordano isn't playing Norris Trophy level hockey anymore. I was like, it was only 2 years ago, amazingly. He was only 35 when he won the Norris, and now he's 37.
But he's not even in the Norris conversation right now.
And
you
I also
don't
feel
have
like
that...
he got the memorial. Like, we passed you over many times for the Norris, so we're going to give you one this
I don't
year.
Think he got passed over that many times.
Well,
he was such
in the,
a late bloomer.
But he was in the conversation. If you look at his numbers, he was in the conversation.
Look at his
votes,
numbers like, the year he won the Norris and compare them to this season. He was almost a point-a-game guy.
Oh,
that.
My God. He was 78 games played, 74 points.
Yeah.
He was on fire that
I mean, he's
year.
Not even close to that right now, no. And he's not playing the big minutes anymore. And that's, you know, that's not his fault. He's 37 years old.
He's old.
And then if you look down the middle... Sean Monahan is probably, I'd say, Horvat level, right? He's a good player, but I don't think you want him as your 1C.
Well, in that division, it's tough, right?
Michael Backlund used to be considered one of these really underrated two-way centers, and he's getting a little bit older, and now he doesn't have the value contract anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they make these changes easily. And I'm enjoying this talking about how other teams are losing so much that on the other side, we're going to be talking about a few more teams mm-hmm. that are struggling. Drew Doughty is upset again. And the St. Louis Blues, who the Canucks defeated when they were defending Stanley Cup champs in the bubble, the St. Louis Blues probably aren't going to even make the playoffs this year.
Seventh.
We've got some audio from their head coach, Craig Berube, who is essentially calling them mentally weak, coming up on the other side. It is the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, and we enjoy talking about teams that are losing.
/7:25 on a Tuesday, Halford, Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough in the morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you're closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, let Able Auctions help you. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, or a mechanical shop, Able Auctions has seen it all and done it all. Email sales@ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. Now, Dom went and procured a particular bit about Schadenfreude, which someone texted in to the Dunbar Lumber text line.
I believe it's pronounced Schadenfreude.
What did I say?
Schadenfreude.
Yeah. Peter Schadenfreude? Yeah. Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude.
I believe it's a German word.
Yes, thank you. Someone texted in the Wikipedia link mm-hmm. to said term as if maybe we didn't know what it was. And I scoffed. I said, come on. If there's anyone that understands and has embodied sports Schadenfreude, it's the Halford and Brough Show. With so little success.
I have the word tattooed on my
lower back.
On my lower back, yeah.
It's like... It's a Schadenfreude stamp.
Yeah. No regrets.
Yeah. There's barbed wire around it.
The Tasmanian devil with a hockey stick and a Canada jersey. Anyway, we know what sports Schadenfreude is all about. The teams that we often cheer for achieve so little success
yes.
that we have to find joy in other people's suffering. Mm-hmm. So if our team's not doing well in whatever sport, that's fine. because there's other losers out there that are probably doing worse.
Yeah.
And in this particular instance with Calgary, it's even more special because it's a longtime rival of the team we both cheer for, the Vancouver Canucks. So, Dom, what do you have here? Walk us through your Schadenfreude clip.
Are we start? So I wanna lay the land here. Are we taking the pleasure in other teams' pain first, or are we going straight to the Simpsons?
However you want to go.
All right. So what we're gonna do?
Here we go.
So painful.
Why?
Why?
Dom trying to do the Simpsons stuff.
Listen, all right. I have been berated over the head by the humanoids.
I feel like you're forcing it
since we've started.
And
saying,
I feel like you don't really know the Simpsons.
Listen, it's
and that's fine. It's fine. You're young. You're 29.
I've been on the show a week and a half, boys. I'm learning. All right. Okay. I'm willing to admit.
Okay. All right. So what do you? Right. What do you?
Let that
what,
little bird fly.
What are you
so
doing
we're
here?
Starting...
We're not helping you that much, I guess.
No,
but...
you're not. But that's fine. I'm used to it. I worked with Mike Martinengo. We're gonna start in Calgary. Daryl Sutter, not a happy man.
Okay. Why is this team having so much trouble scoring goals? Is it the system? Is it the execution?
We did score three tonight. And we did score the last time that we won a back to back game. We scored four, so it's got nothing to do with anything other than if you look at guys who haven't scored 5-on-5 goals this year, that are looked on as
not good.
It's not hard. I'm not going to get into that. It's got nothing to do with system or style or any of that. This team is. Gave up too many goals tonight and gave up too many goals last night to beat Toronto.
You might say Daryl is struggling.
Nah.
So to that we say.
That's your big Simpsons bit?
It's not. No one proclaimed big at all.
See, here's what you're going to learn about working with Halford and Bruff.
Sarcasm?
Well, no, but... Jason doesn't have time and doesn't enjoy workshopping things live on the air.
That's like, fine. I wasn't planning on workshopping. Yeah,
that
live.
Was it. That was the finished
we
product.
We had someone text in yesterday, yeah. Is Dom trying to play all the worst Simpsons clips in an effort to appeal to us?
Honestly, I don't know the difference between the best and the worst Simpsons clips.
So this is what we're
going to... stop forcing it. You're just because you're working with us, I mean, look, at some point, Mike and I are going to have to move on.
I doubt it, but theoretically.
And we're
going
to have to leave behind this show that I'm thinking back to when I laughed the most at The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 20. I turned 45 on Friday.
You do?
Okay? Yeah, don't forget, okay? There's no
this
excuse
Friday?
This time. This Friday.
We've only been working
is my
together
birthday.
For 2 weeks at that point. Am I obligated to get you a gift?
No.
Okay.
We don't
like
get
gifts.
Each other gifts here.
Don't, yeah. That's good. That's good.
I never remember his birthday.
I don't know yours. So
your birthday's in April? I also didn't know you were 45.
Anyway, continue.
Yeah. But that's all I'm saying, right? At some point, and maybe you will be what, you know, brings us forward in time.
It is true, because at a certain point, we're going to be like, oh, they do Simpsons references. To like, they're doing Simpsons references. It's good. That point will be reached. We will have saturated the market, and our shtick will become old, if it hasn't already. You... or the youthful injection that this show may need.
I wonder if Dom was going to some of the newer Simpsons.
Potentially.
And trying to get some of the clips there. Like, you realize that The Simpsons isn't good anymore, right? Do you know that?
No, no idea.
See, we are dealing with...
We probably should have worked this out.
So remember when we asked him, one of our first conversations with Dom was, do you know The Simpsons? He's like, yeah, I know it. I know it pretty good.
Well, I grew up on it. But I stopped watching after I turned, 19?
But a true Simpsons fan would know that the show hasn't been worth watching in many years.
I'm not calling myself a true Simpsons fan
at all. Do you own Disney Plus?
I used to. I don't anymore.
Do you have cable?
No, I don't. I pay for all the sports subscriptions.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love talking to young people about cable. They're all cord cutters.
What is this segment turned into?
I don't know.
Because I was told to grab a bunch of clips.
Oh, we were going to do the NHL stuff. That's right. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. The Blues are terrible, too.
Right. The Blues lost their seventh straight game last night. And now that division, which I think a lot of people had kind of mapped out what it was going to look like, at least in terms of, well, you're going to have Colorado and Vegas fighting for the top, and St. Louis will probably be in the mix.
Yep.
And then whatever sort of random fourth team is going to squeeze through. All of a sudden, you've got a bunch of teams that have and full credit to the Sharks because they've played their way back into contention, but they're not a very good team.
So is Arizona.
Arizona's done well. And also not a very good team.
I don't want to see Arizona in the playoffs.
But the story right now is the St. Louis Blues. Do you have the Berube audio? You said that he comes across also salty.
He's salty. I have 1 minute of Berube just laying into his team in a passive-aggressive manner.
So they got smoked last night. Was it by Vegas? I don't think they were even close. I think they were down 6-1 halfway through the game. This is a team that did make some pretty significant changes. Yeah, they lost 6-1 to Vegas. They lost Petrangelo. Mm-hmm. And they brought in Torrey Krug. I don't know what it is about the Blues this year. Maybe it's partly Binnington. I don't think his numbers have been very good.
Binnington's been really bad.
But you have to remember how the Blues had their success. It's when they started playing that heavy hockey, which is hard to do. It is hard to keep playing that style and winning consistently because it is what I call Hitch hockey, Ken Hitchcock style hockey, where every inch of the ice you have to make really difficult for the other team because the Blues just don't have enough talent, really, to play a freewheeling type of game. They've got players that are good two-way players, and that's essentially how they won the Stanley Cup. That's how they were able to beat the Boston Bruins in the Stanley Cup final. They out-Bruins the Bruins in that series, and now you can tell they're having trouble finding what they had before, and here's their head coach, Craig Berube.
What are you seeing?
Well, they didn't tonight. I'm only going to talk about tonight. And they didn't tonight, for sure. I thought the start of the game was pretty good. You know, we had pretty good jump, did some good stuff early, but, you know, it was a total collapse in the second period.
Craig, what happened in that minute 59 when they got the three goals?
Soft plays, just, you know, coverage, things like that around our net. Goals that probably should be stopped, you know, things like that.
It doesn't seem like the resiliency is there like you've had in past clubs. Is that something you can...
Well, not right, no. It isn't right now, I agree. You know, they're probably a pretty unconfident group right now when things don't go right out there. And, you know, you're not always going to, you know, things are going to happen. Goals are going to go in. You better be a lot mentally tougher than that. I'll tell you that. That's weak. It's weak-minded right now.
How do you get it back?
We stick together and keep working, and I'm going to keep coaching them. That's how.
So he's already gone to the well with calling out Binnington. He said that he has to, like, quote-unquote, find a swagger.
It's so hard to call out a goalie.
Right, but
it's like, be better. But I'm trying.
So he's gone to the well on that one. And then they actually started Ville Husso in that 6-1 loss that you were mentioning last night to Vegas before he got yanked out of the game. And then Binnington had to go back in. So
do you think they miss a guy like Jake Allen, the veteran guy that can go in there?
Well, I'm sure right now they thought that they kind of got painted into a corner because they were pressed up against the cap and they didn't really have the financial flexibility to go and find another guy. I don't think they were really super stoked on the idea of having Ville Husso as the number two. But it came down to one of those things where it's like, well, we've only got a certain amount of money. We're going to have to try and go with what we've got because he has been sort of brought up through the organization. Their biggest issue right now, I think, is that they're not getting saves, and Berube's tried to call out the goalies, and he's realized that that might be a futile thing because if they're not going to make saves, he's not going to change it. So now he's talking about, and last night the quote was, you know, we were really soft in front of our own net. We were giving up too many chances. So everyone's getting called out right now. And the expectations obviously are high because they're only 2 years removed from being a Stanley Cup champion. But you brought up probably the most salient point that not enough people are talking about is, are these guys just worn out?
Mm-hmm.
Because the style of hockey that Berube demands you to play, you saw the team just physically over the last couple of years, ever since they won that Stanley Cup, just kind of get grinded down.
Yeah, they've had a bunch of injuries too.
Right. Guys get hurt, players leave, important players leave, like Petrangelo, and all of a sudden, you're left asking guys that haven't done it before to play at a level and play a style that is very demanding.
And it's difficult to play that style when you're not getting the wins. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier when you're getting the results and you're going, wow, this is actually working. Because remember the season the Blues won the Stanley Cup, what a magical season that was. They started out awful, and then they found their game. And then each win that they had reinforced that the style of play that they were playing, they had to keep going with that. And then they went all the way to the Stanley Cup final and won it all for the first time in franchise history. Ever since then, it's been kind of a struggle. They lost to the Vancouver Canucks in the playoffs.
Right. And that was one where they acknowledged, like, we got hit with a bunch of guys that had COVID prior to the restart. And we've been, there was the talk of being physically drained. And they looked physically drained. And Binnington looked like a shell of the guy that got them all the way to the Stanley Cup of 2019.
We've got a couple texts into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. We got some time on the other side to read them. A couple about Calgary and where they go from here. I don't think Calgary's prospect group is very good. And I just wonder where they're going to go. We've got a few texts comparing them to the Canucks of, you know, 2015, 2016. We'll get into that on the other side. The Canucks aren't playing right now. Not sure if, not sure when they're going to play again. Could be next season. Who knows? They weren't having a very good season, so what we're going to do today is import some negativity from other markets around the league. Just because, like, I feel, you know, a lot of Halford and Bruff listeners are kind of, they're hooked on the negativity, right?
They
need it. They're jonesing for it.
Coffee and negativity, 7:39 in the morning.
For the rest of the show. It's the Halford and Bruff Show, Sportsnet, 650.
A reminder that Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. Business assets to sell? If so, email them at sales@ableauctions.ca. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. /7:44 on a Tuesday, Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Friendly reminder that all your NHL trade deadline coverage here on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor with locations across Western Canada. You can purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies. Ooh, irrigation supplies. You can get them all online at Sherritt, Sherritt.com.
Taj the Blueberry Guy texts in.
Yep.
This is something for Dom, because Dom's had a bit of a rough morning. And he says, love the quick podcast upload. More of a chance to catch up without missing much. So, Dom, thank you very much for getting each hour of the show.
I appreciate the kind words. You don't have to do that, though.
Okay, fine. I won't anymore.
Yeah, don't.
Here's the thing. Just take the compliment. Okay. He gets angry when you don't take the compliments.
I want, I would like all our Halford and Bruff podcast listeners to leave nice or funny reviews.
Leave your best review. So go to the Apple podcast page.
Rate it 5 out of 5.
Do that, because we are a 5-star program.
Yes.
I'll accept 4.
No,
let's let's be honest. I'd accept 3. I got low standards.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is when you write the comments, or dare I say reviews, make them your best. For example, Mr. Berlando writes, it's much better than AM radio should be.
Yeah.
That's a very good reply. I like that.
Yep.
Aaron from Coquitlam writes, Halford and Bruffer, not the first time a Canadian sports duo failed at a big U.S. sports network, but they're the best to ever try.
Do we fail at NBC?
I think we did okay.
I feel like the check's cashed.
A lot. You see my bank account, bro?
That's no failure in success. There.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
Louis Erickson, massive success.
Right. Louis is killing it right now.
He doesn't even have to play.
His effort and output to dollars
it's
ratio?
It's the dream.
Yeah.
Matt Flynn is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Matt Flynn, like, Bruff gives me a hard time because I always look at these guys, the guys that get the big contracts and then never do anything, and he's like, that's classic Halford. But, like, Matt Flynn got, what, $10 million for doing nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
For playing one quarter of one game or something like
right.
that.
Right, and then lighting it up and being amazing. Now, with regards to the podcast, please continue to leave all of your best submissions in the comments section, all the reviews. But we wanted to bring this up because, one, You have done a really good job getting this hourly podcasting up, because I know nobody here has done that before, and it's getting downloaded quite a bit, and people are really happy about it, because some that can't get up at 6 o'clock want to get caught up and then join the show. So one, Dom, really good job. Two, we're trying to make the podcast as available as possible on all platforms, right? So Google Podcasts, yes.
Apple, no, not yet.
Oh,
we're
really?
We're working on Google Podcasts. It's coming.
I'm sorry. Okay.
But the process with Google just takes longer.
What about Spotify?
That's also coming eventually.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're on Apple. We're on the website. We're on things like...
Are you just telling us this and hoping we forget about it?
No, I'm actually working on it. It's my job. Jesus. Rough.
Just watch the language, okay?
It's a family show.
I'm Catholic. It's okay.
It's fine. It was Easter. It's fine. It's fine. All right. We were talking a bit about... sports schadenfreude, specifically in the hockey realm, hasn't been a good year for the Canucks. Let's put that out there. Even removing the very unfortunate current situation with COVID-19, there were a lot of disappointments. So Bruff and I, as we are wont to do on the H&B show, we tried to find joy in other people's suffering. So we already ran the gamut here. We went all in on Calgary, who has been a major disappointment. We just finished all in on the St. Louis Blues, who I think the Vancouver Canucks might have broke in the bubble. At least Jordan Binnington, anyway. Now, another team that has history with the Vancouver Canucks, the Los Angeles Kings. It has not been a good recent stretch for the Kings. They lost 5-2 to the Arizona Coyotes last night, and everybody was furious. They've lost, I believe it's 6 of their last 7 in Los Angeles, and those losses came against the Sharks, the Knights, and then the most recent loss against the Coyotes. Todd McClellan went all in. I believe there was a benching of Gabe Vilardi in the third period. But Drew Doughty, always good for an angry hockey dude quote, kind of went off yesterday talking about the lack of passion that some of his Kings teammates are playing with. Let's hear it now.
Drew, does this game kind of serve as a call to action for all the things that you're saying right now? And if so, how does that get addressed?
I mean, it should have been a call to action games ago. We put ourselves in a good spot. And the last 2 weeks or so, we've absolutely shot ourselves in the foot. And now we got a lot of work to do, a lot of climbing to do, a lot of winning to do. Honestly, I don't even remember your question. I'm so pissed off right now. But I don't know. We just need to be better. That's it. And enough of us talking about playing good in the third period. I mean, we're losing in the game, so we should be good in the third period. It's about how we're playing from the puck drop. It's the bottom line, and we're not showing up for that.
I just think the Kings don't have enough good players. I look at that lineup and I go, Kopitar is still pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's Doughty on the back end who plays a lot.
He's
still a good player.
He's having a productive year.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
But after that, who have you got? When that team was winning Stanley Cups, one of their key additions was Jeff Carter down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jeff Carter's old now, and I don't even think they have him at center anymore. You know, he's got 16 points in 37 games. He's done his bit. Now it's up to some of the younger guys, but they're in a tough position there.
Right.
Because they had to restock their prospects, and some of their prospects aren't ready yet.
Right.
So they're in this tough position of having some guys that are getting older, mm-hmm. that are getting paid quite a lot, and then they've got the up-and-comers that maybe aren't quite ready to go.
Well, that's exactly what he's talking about. The shots being fired right now, it's like really clear who they're at. It's all the young guys on the mm-hmm. team, because Doughty, and if I had to guess, this is probably a frustration born out of self-awareness. Like, Doughty knows where he's at in his career, right? Doughty knows that if this team is going to get back into a potential Stanley Cup window, for his sake, it needs to happen sooner rather than later. Because the older Doughty gets, the less effective he's going to be. Same thing with Kopitar, same thing with Quick. And eventually, if it doesn't go right, I'm sure Doughty realizes, like, I could be the one that's getting moved. Or Kopitar mm-hmm. could be the one that's getting moved, where it's like, okay, this is taking longer than we expected. The youth movement isn't going along as we thought. I mean, the Kings have a tremendously deep prospect pool, because they've been stockpiling guys for the last 3 or 4 years,
yeah.
right? But right now, you talked about young guys getting thrown in. Their 2C and 3C are Vilardi and Anderson Dolan, and they're very young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're both learning the NHL gig at the same time. So you say, well, what's part of learning it? It's all those cliches that you hear Doughty throw out. You got to be prepared to battle every night. You can't take nights off. You can't have a good performance and then follow it up. You're like, well, I had a night last night. I had 2 goals and an assist. It doesn't really matter if I don't bring it tonight. So that's where they're at as an organization. It's going to be funny to see how much this season will affect them, because while they're not a good team, as we brought up, so many teams in that West Division are struggling or just flat out not good.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings did legitimately have a chance
totally.
At a playoff spot. They've just blown
that's why,
it.
That's why he's so frustrated.
They've just blown it this last two weeks because they've lost 6 of 7 with the playoff spot hanging in the balance.
Text into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Is Calgary, this is unsigned text from Gary, today's version of the 2016 Canucks? Kept too many of the old guard, brought in too many older free agents, and are now forced to rebuild from a poor position. I don't think anyone in Calgary has put the rebuild word out there.
No.
I don't know if I would compare them to the Canucks, because they do have a guy like Tkachuk and Lindholm. These guys aren't old. They've got some good young defensemen on the blue line.
I appreciate the text, but the analysis doesn't work.
I don't think they're as screwed as the Canucks were. Just for reference, I don't think I've felt as low about the Canucks as I did after they lost to the Flames in 2015.
Right, and which is the team this guy's alluding to in the text.
He said 2016.
Right, so the year after they made the playoffs.
Yeah. So I remember watching that series and going, yeah, the Canucks had a good season. They, you know, that was Willie Desjardins' first year behind the bench, and they had over 100 points, and they had a good bounce-back season from the Torts year, which was a disaster. But if you looked big picture, they were screwed. Yeah, they had barely anyone coming except for Horvat.
Yep.
As far as the young prospects, they hadn't even drafted Besser at that point, because they drafted him that year and we didn't know what he was.
Right.
And he was a late first round pick because the Canucks had that good season. I'm going, all right, I guess they've drafted Vertanen and he might pan out. But other than that, you're looking at him and going, man, this team is going to struggle for a while. I don't think Calgary necessarily has to go down that road, but I wonder if they're thinking of a slight reboot.
They have to be. Here's the thing.
Trade Gaudreau for, let's say you trade Johnny Gaudreau and you get a first back. And then, I'm just throwing that out there, right? Okay. I don't know if they'd be able to do that. Who knows? Mm-hmm. The salary cap is a problem. Let's say they do get a first. So now they'd have 2 firsts, including a pretty low first,
yeah,
because of their record this season. Mm-hmm. You can reboot things a little bit with a guy like Tkachuk and some of the young players they have on the back end.
Or you use those picks as capital and you build to this team.
Maybe. I
mean, here's the thing. We talk about that Canucks team. There were a lot of guys pushing 30 or on the wrong side of 30, including the Sedins, and their window was closed as a contender. If you look at the Flames right now, and this is probably the most disheartening thing for fans, their top 4 scorers right now, Lindholm, Tkachuk, Gaudreau, and Monahan, are all 27 or younger. This right now is supposed to be the window.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are in their prime right now. This isn't supposed to be when the window is closing. Like, age-wise, this is when they're supposed to be taking off. That Canucks team, everyone knew that 2011 was their zenith, their peak, and they were on the way out. This team never reached that, and they should be doing it right now. That's what makes it so frustrating for fans of the team. We got a lot more to get to on this program. We're going to circle back to the Canucks talk in the 8 o'clock hour. Thomas Drantz from The Athletic is going to join us. We'll do a rehash of all the latest news, information, updates, and what have you regarding the Canucks COVID-19 situation. Tom's always a great guest to get on in these instances. Like, not that this is an instance that occurs with regularity, mm-hmm. but anytime it comes down to protocols and minutia and the day-to-day operations, having worked for a club.
Yeah. He'll go through all the details so you don't have to,
exactly.
Basically.
So Thomas Drantz coming up next. What we learns will also be in this final hour, in the 8 o'clock hour. Get those in if you haven't already. It's the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. A reminder, you can also get us at Sportsnet 650 on Twitter. He is at Sad Club Commish. That's Jason Bruff. I am at Mike Halford 604. Text us, tweet us what you learned over the last 24 hours in sports. There was a national championship game in basketball. Six of the seven Canadian teams were in action last night in the NHL. So there's plenty to get in. Get your what we learns in hashtag WWL. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? It's Halford. It's Bruff. It's Sportsnet 650.